Hello, everybody. Good to be with you. So I've got a friend of mine here, actually my colleague, Gary Crowley, who has started teaching with me recently. This is in December of 2018. So let's just say that, to use that for a tag on recently. Gary has actually been around a long time. He was a teacher as much as a dozen years ago, and he had a following and it was a rising star. And then I'll let Gary tell you about that. So, but he's been around a long time. His first book was From Here to Here, which he wrote in 2006, which was, so Gary was awake a long time before I was, which puts him in the kind of situation that I was with Scott Killaby. I woke up prior to Scott Killaby, and I was deeply resentful that I had to go to him as a teacher. But what I found out, I could see very clearly that although I had woken up earlier, he had woken up clearer, and clearer is what really counts. So let me just jump straight in. Hey, Gary.
Hello, Sir Fretness. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a great to have you. And we're going to talk about the living method and our approaches to it. And we're going to talk a little bit about your history and all of that stuff.
Okay.
And I think it'll be a fascinating video. We'll see what everybody else thinks.
So never know.
Yeah. We'll be entertained.
Exactly.
It's already successful. We're laughing. So Gary, give me a little bit of background. This is what I do. Do what we do in front of in the beginning of every awakening session. Give me a little bit of your spiritual story.
Okay. Was on the path for the spiritual seeker path for a couple decades, probably since my late teens, pretty intensely in my 20s and 30s. And studied a lot of good stuff, but in basically 2002-ish, maybe late 2002. My dates are maybe a little, I basically just gave up in frustration. I tended to do things. This unit tends to do things intensely and joyfully, but intensely. And after a couple decades, I had frustrated myself into the place of profound indifference. If this was going to work, it was going to work, right? And so I basically just let it go. I'm just going to go have a normal life,
right,
like everyone else, instead of spending all my time doing this. And but I did love the writings of Wei Wu Wei.
Yes.
And for me, as I've said before,
Wei Wu Wei was also a mentor to Ramesh Balsekar, one of my favorite teachers.
Yes. And but Wei Wu Wei is not for everybody, because he's an Irish aristocrat, 6'10", by the way, fluent in Greek and Latin, Cambridge educated. And when he didn't have a word that fit what he wanted to say, he just made one up out of Greek and Latin. So it's a bit of an adventure.
It's a very large brain you're contending with.
But for me, it was like I was sitting across the kitchen table talking to my uncle. I don't know why, if it's an Irish thing or something, but something's going on. And so I would read probably half hour, maybe sometimes an hour every morning with my coffee. I just read Wei Wu Wei because I enjoyed it. And I had no intention of it going anywhere. I just enjoyed it. And then
that might be an important point, that notion that you really had no intention of it going in.
Oh, I think it's a massively important point. Yeah. Yeah. Because as we've joked before, Da Frijan, who later changed his name to, I think, Da Avabasa, he had an expression that I liked that was, frustration before illumination.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta give up, and then, you gotta let go, and then, oh, wow, now it works. But anyway, so I just kept reading. He has 8 books, Wei Wu Wei. And I would just, when I finished the 8th one, I'd just pick up the first one again. And I think what happened, this is my, revisionist history, or as best as I can remember, is I think his concepts for me became experientialized.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thinking about them anymore. And I was just marinating in this thing. And then one day in 2004, you know, I read a footnote in the book All Else is Bondage that said, you know, free, we are not the number one, the first of all our objects, but zero, their universal and absolute subject. And something let go, and I sat there, you know, it wasn't the fireworks that a lot of, but it was, oh, so this is it.
Right.
Oh. And, you know, a nice relief, actually. For me, yeah. It was more like, oh, thank
you. Oh, it was for me, too. I have a statue of Atlas holding up the heavens over there. And it's like, I can put this ball down now.
Right, I can put this down. Or I can let it go. And, oh, it floats on its own. Look at that. Here, there I was holding it up the whole time. and so then I wrote From Here to Here. Which was intentionally written to be concise and precise, a treatment on this topic of awakening or enlightenment, because I, despite the many amazing teachers and amazing books out there, I thought someone needed to put it really concisely for people, so it wasn't, you know, they couldn't wiggle around and get out of it. And a lot of people really love that book, and I still am glad I wrote that book, because I think it does shift people. It has optical illusions in there and all these things. But then I started teaching, having satsangs and teaching people. And truth be told, Sir Fredness, I wasn't getting, now people would shift from reading my book and they'd be excited and they'd come to satsang or I'd talk to someone on the phone, and I couldn't quite get the shift out of that false self that I wanted. They'd blip out a little bit, especially if I had them for a while, you know, I could, but then boy, pretty quickly they're winding right back in. And I joke that this unit was kind of born and raised in New England, and I need stuff that works.
Nice.
Otherwise, I don't feel good about...
Like me. I, the only thing I care about is whether it works or not. I don't care if I'm stealing it. I don't care if I'm making it up. I don't care if it's a download from God. If it works, I'm doing it. If it doesn't, I'm not.
Yeah, so I, at a certain point, maybe coming up probably on 2 years of you know, doing this stuff with people in groups, I just kind of let it go because I didn't feel good about it. I didn't feel good about doing it with folks. I felt like I was not wasting my time, but I wasn't getting results for folks.
Right.
And then apparently Oneness decided that it needed a website to show everyone in the world how to fix their joint pain all by themselves. So I spent like 3 years building DIY jointpainrelief.com.
Yeah.
And cause actually one of the reasons I like it is that stuff works.
Absolutely.
I'm
with you completely.
You know, and I get emails every day.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yeah. And so I had kind of let things go in terms of the teaching and non-duality, and even though, you know, it was always with me. And, you know, the character does drift back in a little more as you go. But, it, you know, there was still some residual from, you know, and I wasn't looking. I wasn't trying to do anything more with non-duality. And then a friend of mine in Edinburgh, Scotland, said, "Hey, have you read this guy's book, Fred Davis? He says you're a verb, not a noun." I said, "I really like this book." And you know, I was like, "Oh, what's the name?" He said, "Oh, The Book of Undoing." So I go on Amazon, I Kindle it right down, you know, there it is. I start reading, and pretty quickly I went, "Oh, he knows how to get in. He knows how to get under that character and push him out like a tube of toothpaste," right. You know? And so I, you know, when I do something that I'm into, that's what I do.
Yeah.
So then I'm in 18 hours a day joyfully. Yes. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
I, you know, I don't have kids. I don't, you know, I'm self-employed.
Yeah.
I have an office in my home. I don't commute. So that's what I do. Right. Yeah, and right. So I started reading your books, basically the way I kind of did Wei Wu Wei's books.
Yeah. Right.
I just kept reading all your books. And especially the Book of Undoing and Awakening Now, and the other ones too. But
you started emailing me.
Oh well, I emailed you for a session. I think at the end of I closed the Book of Undoing.
Yeah.
That's
what I recall you're telling
me. This is what I'm doing. Yeah. And
here's what I told Betsy. I told her, I said, this guy just can't send me money fast enough.
That's funny. Yeah, because I mean, as a slight aside, I live pretty simply. You know, I'm not a wealthy guy, but I live simply so that I have money to do the things that are important to me. So right. I didn't have to go, oh, should I? And I'm like, no, this is what I do,
yeah.
You know? And so dove in with you. And then pretty quickly I was like, well, what more can we do
right.
with this? Right. And you were like, well, I have a teaching, you know, tract.
Right.
Started doing that. And I have to admit, so all the dogs in my neighborhood are very awake. Because every day I would go for a walk, and I've probably done, before I actually started doing sessions with people,
right.
I don't know, I've probably done like at least 60 sessions
right.
walking around my neighborhood.
Yes.
With Kobe and Smith and Dixie and Daisy and, you know, they're all very awake dogs in the hood. And so when I started, and with, you know, we'd have every two weeks we'd have a teacher right. training call, and what's funny is, you know, I appreciated it when I read it in the books.
Yeah.
But when you start to learn how to do it,
ooh,
it was like, oh, wow, there is like a lot of things, right?
There's lot here.
There's a lot in there. And it took a while to, you know, it's got to marinate. It's got to,
right.
you know, and get in you. And then, but now that I'm doing it with folks, I mean, it's just fantastic. I don't know what else to say. I've been looking for this for, I mean, I probably, at some level, I've been looking for this for 30 years.
Yes.
But I've at least a dozen years.
Right.
I've been looking for this. And
I discovered this teaching too. There's no credit here for Fred. It was certainly not invented by Fred. It just presented itself. So it presented itself, and I've always been a bit of an opportunist. So it was like, wow. And then this years of, you know, trimming and tweaking and all of that went on until it, you know, and it continues to evolve. I mean, it really is a living teaching. It just continues mm-hmm. to evolve.
And you can definitely tell how it's, when you read the Book of Undoing, and now you get a session, now it's different.
Yeah,
and it's, right. I mean, it's so precise. And I mean, and I just love waking myself up, looking at, you know, it's an amazing thing. I don't know what else to say other than that. I mean, it's incredible.
It for those for whom it's for.
Yes.
There's no shorter, surer path.
Yeah. And that's all.
Like, wait, it's not for everybody.
Oh no, he's not for, yeah. He's for, as one of the intro to one of his books says, you know, I'm sure the sales of Wei Wuwei's books will soar into the dozens.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly right. I have a paperback copy, from, I don't know, but from before time, of one of his books. But he must've done really well by then because it's number X of 1,000.
Yeah. Oof.
And I bet, I wouldn't be surprised if he never sold all that thousand.
Right.
I remember even Sailor Bob, who's quite well known now, remember years ago him talking, he hadn't sold 1,000 books in the U.S. yet, and that was not all that long ago, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's a burgeoning field now, but it's burgeoning in the same way that, like, we're two guys that keep goldfish, and we get together and we say, you know, everybody's going goldfish.
Right, right. Or like I sometimes joke when someone wins a gold medal in the luge in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, of the 12 people in the world that do the luge, you're the best.
You're the best, right. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a small body, but I do think it's the way you basically get people to experientialize or just experience what all these concepts are pointing to is the massive difference that makes this, you know, accessible to everyone, not everyone, but you know, but those who are open to it. It's amazing. And I was thinking this morning, because I knew we were going to do this call, that it's, you know, it's very simple in the sense that, you know, walking a tightrope across the World Trade Center, it's very simple. You just do that. But there's a lot that goes into that simplicity. Right. So,
yeah, it's so now I have you as a witness, both as student and teacher, and you'll understand why when I first recognized what I had, right, that it just arrived. And when I recognized what I had, then my thought, it was, and it sounds so completely arrogant, but it had nothing to do with Fred, was, oh man, this could change everything.
I honestly, for the seekers that are exposed to it, it does change everything.
That was the idea, was that it could, the actual quote was, for in my head, was that this could turn spirituality on its head.
Or it's suddenly you have the experience of this thing you've been theorizing about. And then now you've had an experience of that, even if it's a short experience, but now you have a reference point to go, oh, now you're, whatever you're doing, whatever's being done, has that reference point. That changes everything when if you're looking for the North Pole and you're walking towards the Amazon River.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, I guess, kind of get there, but sure is easier if you have a compass that says, well, that's north.
You know? That's north. So this, and when you just were talking about, so even if you had a short experience, that's languaging, but it's not true, is it?
No, well, you're always having the experience.
That's it.
That's the funny part.
So this idea that I'm having a short experience, right? I'm just picking because that's what we do. But right. it's a way of explaining this to others, is that, so it sounds like when Gary said, even if you have a short experience, it sounds like there was a Gary talking to an audience of other units. Right.
Right.
And that this unit is awake and this unit is inviting all of these other units to wake up.
Right. And the units don't get to wake up.
Units don't get to wake up.
Yeah.
No. Gary never woke up, did he?
And well, Gary, it's hard. It's a little hard because Gary doesn't exist. But that's other than that.
Right.
Other than that, that's the only problem.
Yeah. my Pat saying is that Fred Davis very much wanted to wake up to the truth of God, and the truth of God woke up to the fiction of Fred Davis instead. Right?
Yes.
And that is it. And you can't really understand that until you are awake yourself.
Yeah.
But when you pass through that, and that gateless gate, and it doesn't matter whether it's with a whimper or a boom,
mm-hmm.
you pass through there, you see something that you can never completely unsee.
Yeah, so maybe a better, because again, we're languaging, but maybe, so even if someone, even if there is only a brief conscious awareness of what's always already going on, having that reference point of what's always already going on helps you more readily re-access that.
Yes. And when we're talking about, we're saying that there was there seemed to be a short period this is the way it will, the recall of the mind will always come mm-hmm. in, and it will say, well, it did for me. I woke up the first time in back in 2002? Yeah, I think so. 2002. And immediately after that, there was clear seeing that there was no Fred Davis. And then immediately after that, ego began to rebuild. And the first tool it used was the special tool, which is the, oh, I, Fred, just woke up. Mm-hmm. But as we now know, there's no Fred, so Fred couldn't have possibly woken up. So what happened in those moments of clarity mm-hmm. and what it was that it always is claimed by Gary, and we tell the story of when I woke up. But the truth is that not that Gary experienced the universe, it's that the universe had a Gary-free moment.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And with that Gary-free moment, once you take away what's false,
right,
the truth is not hard to discover because it's always here.
No, and then the beauty of, you know, in the awakening sessions I've done with other folks, you know, you take some time to take away the Gary or the Fred or the,
yes,
the Mary or the, you know, the Sally, and boy, suddenly when that's not in the way, it's a whole lot easier.
There are a lot of things that are neglected, but one of mm-hmm. the things that's neglected as a rule is we talk about neti neti. We hear about neti neti, not this, not that, but an awakening session, the first two thirds of it, probably, certainly the first half, depends on the person, will be, it's coming to see what you're not. And it ain't Fred that's coming to see what he's not, because there's no Fred.
Right.
It's awakeness coming to see that it's not a Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when you, and I tell people, you know, we're trying to pacify the mind here, because if the mind thinks that we're trying to undo it.
Oh yeah.
Right. Or undermine it. Then right. Our enemy, and nothing is going to happen.
And that's the beauty of it being so simple. Yes. Is this is just, oh, don't even worry. This is, we're just doing some simple little.
And it's funny. Things. It's fun to do. I mean, it really, fun. I mean, I spend, you know, hours and hours laughing in awakening sessions. There are clarity sessions too every week. Mm-hmm. My house cleaners ask me, Fred, yeah, do people really pay you to laugh with them?
Yeah, don't tell anybody. Yeah.
Right. Yes, I'm really a spiritual comedian.
So. No, and I do think one of the really important things that's been really reemphasized with you it's really important to keep things light.
Very important.
Because it's an underestimated tool, and I laugh a lot and we joke a lot, and because once it gets all serious, boy,
this is actually one of the reasons why I chose you as to be to come in with me. I mean, not just a mm-hmm. teacher, but to actually come in with me. Mm-hmm. Because although we're quite different human beings, you're much nicer than I am. But there is, but the humor, you are, I can see that from your channel. From your your do-it-yourself
YouTube. Okay.
And which is what? Do-it-yourself?
DIY jointpainrelief.com.
Okay. So that's your website. That'll
the videos aren't particularly funny, though, when I'm showing you how to fix your neck and things.
Oh, okay. All right. But you're funny. I remember your Betsy and I fell in love with you long ago because when you were first writing me, you told me about you sent me a video on a couple of videos on working with a dog.
My dog Daisy. Everyone loves the Daisy, the dog hip pain relief.
Yes.
With Daisy.
Yes. And that is funny.
It is funny. Yeah.
So there was a recognition of that kind of humor. Because my saying on this is that a laughing ego is an ego that's off guard.
Oh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can come in and tell it something. Ha, 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 you don't exist. Ha, ha,
ha. Uh-huh.
And it happens subliminally, and it doesn't refute it.
Right. And the article,
I'm also curious about, gee whiz, what am I?
Yeah. And the article on your website that I wrote, awakeness is doing all the work. I joke that, the ego is just perpetually overconfident. So it's like, of course I exist. You want to go take a look. Especially if it's kind of light, and then suddenly the down, it's like, oh wow, we can't find a Gary anywhere.
Right. And that, of course, is the cosmic joke. And no matter how many times you've heard that discussed, as you and I did now, still nobody has any idea what's in store for them with awakening.
Right.
I thought I had a pretty good idea, and I wasn't even in the ballpark.
Yeah, and then until and goes from concepts to actual experiencing, that's the beauty of this, the living method. You've mastered how to, when I say experientialize concepts.
Or myself. In other words, oneness has no one to work with but oneness.
Yes, yes.
That recognition alone puts this in a different place than most teachings, because, or I don't want to say most teachings, that sounds so arrogant.
Well, I think that's true.
But anyway, a lot of teachings will be where there's a so-called enlightened unit trying to, may have even had an awakening experience that's now been claimed, commandeered by ego. But there's a so-called awakened unit trying to help all these unawakened units.
Right.
These poor bastards in my audience who just can't seem to get it.
Right.
And this teaching never goes there.
Well, and again, doing the sessions, and again, it's nice to, like we talked about it, but actually doing the sessions where you're looking across at yourself as oneness, and you're just trying to, it's a little cloudy over there. And we're just trying to.
You see, it's you. You can see you're just as awake over there as you are over here, because that idea that you're already awake and you just don't know it. I know. I threw rocks at that.
Me too. I dropped some F-bombs at that one.
Yes, me too. But it's true. But it doesn't mean what you think it means.
Right.
It is true, but it doesn't mean what you think it means.
Right. It only means the exact opposite of what you think it means. But other than
that. Exactly right. Which is the exact opposite is what this teaching is really doing, is it really is unlike other teachings, and that's why I call it the backwards teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost a lot of friends at the beginning of this because I was told that I couldn't do what I was doing. And my feeling at the time, first I was like, I knew I was a fraud, so I was on their side. I know I'm a fraud. Now, what do I do with all these awake people?
Yeah.
That was the problem. I couldn't get away from the fact that I had been awakening people, even though I knew I couldn't, and I was told I couldn't.
Right.
And of course, it just had nothing to do with Fred. So that backwards teaching, it starts with the reviewing of what occurs in an awakening, which is where it's not the character, it's not Fred that wakes up to the truth, it's the truth that wakes up to the absence of Fred. That's backwards. Then that's the first step backwards. Every other insight that we get will also be backwards, right? So everybody's trying to help the unit get it, the character get it, which can never happen.
Right. It just solidifies it.
we know that we are told that we are not the body. We are told that we are not the mind, but we never check to see, well, what's left.
Right? Yeah. No, and then the thing I tell folks is that with the living method, you actually do what no one else does, is you actually investigate.
Yes.
And like, yes, I get that concept. Yes, I did. Well, let's actually have the experience of investigating if that's true or not. And that changes everything.
And typically when people, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, because I'm not going to give away everything here. I don't want to give away the only thing I have to sell. But the, what were we talking about?
I was saying the thing that makes it different is we investigate.
Okay. Yeah. So because this truth won't stand up. The false will not stand up under close investigation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it will feel like, I understand that it's Fred and Gary doing some investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I never say that because it's not true. What mm-hmm. I mean is that I can't, you know, obviously it's just oneness working with oneness.
Yeah. Within oneness, playing around as oneness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Right. So, and there's no why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to say only the Gary character, who doesn't exist, wants to know why.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the questions that flow quickly in the early post awake, I mean momentary post awake,
yep, yep.
and after that too,
uh-huh.
especially right after, you know, there is the seeing that there's no Fred, and then the next question is, so what do I do now?
Yeah, so what's Fred going to do with this now that we know that Fred doesn't exist?
That's right. So yeah. There has to be, there's obviously nothing you can do to wake up. And if you don't do something, odds are you won't.
Yeah, and this is what's been fascinating to me with some of the sessions I've done with folks who have studied amazing teachers and read amazing books that are fantastic. But they're like, well, there's no doer, there's nothing to do. And I'm like, well, there's no doer, but there are things to be done.
Yes.
I said, when you get hungry, there's no doer, but you prepare food and eat it. Or oneness, you know, through oneness.
But really doing it.
Yeah. The unit. And if your car runs out of gas, there's no doer, but
you fill it up.
The gas tank gets filled up. So how is this any different than other things that are done?
Non-duality is a it's a paradox, which is what completely throws us, because the brain is it's a yes or no machine, just like a computer.
Yep.
Zeros and ones, and those zeros and ones really just represent on and off switches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on or off. It's this or that. It's this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So is it this? No, it's that. You know. So it's. That's why we interface so well with computers, is that we work exactly that same way. So the mind is no good. It's impossible for the mind to really understand this. I want to be clear that I don't understand this. Do you?
No, I'm like, you've joked before. I've stolen the line. You know, I'm with Socrates. I don't know anything. So
yeah, right. I'm no smarter than Socrates. Oh, you like my new Socrates? It's really, yeah, nice. Yeah, I've got to get a light so that it shines better, but it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But
that's the freedom is, you know, there's no Fred or Gary. It's all on oneness.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit there and talk to myself on the other side of this session and see if we can clear that oneness up. And actually, with the living method, it's shockingly effective.
Shockingly.
I mean, more than I ever would have imagined in my...
I would have taken...
I would have taken 20%.
Yeah. Oh, me. Oh, God.
And been thrilled, like actually been thrilled.
I had always been, you know, a salesman and entrepreneur. And so goals and stuff like that were always very important to me. Mm-hmm. And when I started teaching, I realized the absurdity of having a goal. But the unit could not make one just not for the sake of, oh, well, now I'm going to hit it, but it was for the sake of knowing, okay, you know, this was it worked. This was a successful teaching. And this was actually, I hadn't used the method yet. I was, this was in my theoretical spiritual teaching and prior to actually teaching. But I decided that if I could, you know, if I can wake up and teach, that a good, that I would be doing well if I woke up six people.
More than most.
Six more than most.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, yeah. Yeah, and
six more than many. I'll just, again, the unit is just, there's so much natural arrogance here that it's very, very difficult to contain it. There's no natural sense of humility here whatsoever.
Right? Well, you know the Benjamin Franklin thing where he listed all the qualities he wanted to take on for a year, and it was a list of 10 or 12 or whatever, and humility was one of them. And after a year, he crossed that one out. He said, "Yeah, I don't. I
didn't know that. That's perfect. Right. That's exactly well. That and that's the way it is here, because the only apparent humility, which is apparently enough, is that I never ever claimed that this is from that I'm doing this. That Fred is that there's a Fred
right
doing this, and that we should.
I mean, that's the big.
We should all applaud Fred and give him great acclaim and all this.
Well, I love the question. You know, so are you enlightened? I'm like, oh God, no. First, there's no Gary to be enlightened. Second of all, this thing is about as enlightened as this.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I use this when people are wondering, you know, wow, did I really wake up? I just like to tell them, you know, so this is my enlightenment wand, and I'm actually the enlightenment fairy. And I now
you have been knighted.
Yeah. And of course, the truth is that for me, there is a awakening is one thing and enlightenment is another.
Okay.
And because awakening is seeing clearly what you're not. There can be deeper awakening than that, which is where we see what we're not and what we are. Mm-hmm. And then there can be a deeper awakening than that, which I won't go into.
Back to what you're not again. Yeah.
Yes. Well, what you're not again. That's right. That's right. What you're not, what you are, and then what you're not again. Enlightenment, I think of really as more like abundance.
Yeah, which is actually I like that. Yeah, because the thing we didn't talk about in my history much was, and we've talked about before, but you know, I was always kind of taught, read, whatever, that you know, you have a conscious awakening and then you're done.
I think most of us were taught.
Yeah, the illusionary Gary has now been seen through, and he's packed his bags, even though he doesn't exist, and he's on a train to, I don't know, Buenos Aires or something. But I think that and when I was teaching and writing books, I was immersed enough in the stuff. It was almost, you know, keeping that awakeness, that conscious awakeness at a pretty clear level. Yes. But once I stopped, It did. It gets cloudy over time, and the beauty of your teaching was that, oh no, this. You have to be vigilant. You have to be, especially for the first couple of years.
Yes.
And
it gets much easier until now. There's no effort.
And even at where I am, there's very little effort. You know, when I take a box cutter to my thumb for couple seconds. There's a Gary that's not too happy about that, but
yeah. I say that when I stump my toe, but that's my wife just stumping his toe.
Yeah.
Oh shit, who put that chair there? And it's always
I shouldn't have done that. Right. And I did this to myself.
This shouldn't have happened though.
Yeah.
And shouldn't have a cut thumb.
Yeah. But it's amazing what I guess the point is, knowing that even though there's no doer, that there are still things to be done, is also a massive game changer.
Yeah, and the things to be done are really just encouraging the happening.
Yes, and they're not about the future, they're about
right now.
Getting here.
That's it.
That's the difference. I think that's the difference. It's in 3 years, I'm going to, it's like, right now, right here.
Right. Is that all of my practices, I say on the practice menu, I'm sure that no one pays it any attention, but I put it there just a disclaimer for me, which is that none of these practices are about, and you don't have to do any practices if you're not drawn to them, but if you are drawn to a certain practice or you are looking for a practice, then maybe there's something that could be helpful. But whether, I can't remember what I was going to say, but whether we use,
I can't remember. It's not future oriented.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Right. If we use the practice, it's not so that we are going to be more awake later. It's to help us be fully awake right now. Right.
And that's only possible because in the awakening session, you have that reference point now where you actually, there's an experiential knowingness of what that is. You've been to the Grand Canyon now. So when you drive, you're driving by it again, you can actually go, that's the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. The awakeness in the through the character may know that. There's, let me put this. I don't know. I'm just off today. I've got a cold and a cough and everything, so I'm ill. And I lose track of stuff all the time anyway. I mean, I lose it, in satsang. I remember one time I was back in the days when I would do live things, I had a meeting in Asheville, North Carolina. And there was a woman there. She was my fixer. She always remembered everything. Her name was Georgette. And I would lose it. And I would say, Georgette, where was I? She would wind it back up, right? It's just like that. Because what happens in these gaps, if anybody's curious, is that we're left with Fred. And he knows nothing about any of this, although he'd like to tell you what he does know, right? Which is much. So one time I lost it and I went to ask Georgette, where was I? And I couldn't remember her name. And I was like, and I just told her, I can't remember your name. And at which everybody got a big hoot out of. And she said, well, my name's Georgette, but I don't remember what you were talking about.
Nice.
Yeah. So, the recognition that this is paradoxical, because it's just like that there's, like when we start out, we start out believing in the relative. You know, there's just, I can see, hear, feel, touch. That's what I'm interested in. You know, can I eat it or make love to it or get it to do things, fun things for me, right? Or whatever. And if it's not, then I'm out. Yeah, I mean, it's just a real, real coarse materialist way of looking at things. And then the seeker mode comes about. We don't choose it. It chooses us, so to speak. And then there is the awakening to the absolute. And if it's a very, the odd thing is that a very clear awakening is also very cloudy.
Because there's a lot of confusion there, yeah.
Because a very clear awakening is you don't just see there's not a Fred. What you actually recognize is, I'm the absolute. There's just this, I'm not just the little man, I'm also I'm actually, matter of fact, I'm not the little man. I'm actually the vastness, right? And so, but the problem is that we've just moved from one side of the circle to the other, where I've gone, where I am just this body to mm-hmm. the vastness. And the truth is what you are, you're not either one of these. Mm-hmm. You're the whole thing.
Right.
Right. That's the deal. And that's the deal. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. You are the whole thing. And that, well, and then we get to see beyond that too, but we won't go there today. Mm-hmm. But so when we say, when people wake up and they say, well, there's just the vastness, I'm the vastness. Who cares about that little man? Relativity doesn't matter. Who could write in all of that, which we hear ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. But that's not, you know, well, it's true as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. Mm-hmm. Because I am the vastness, true, and I'm also the human being.
Right.
Is there a human being here? Maybe not on some level of truth, mm-hmm. but experience. There is still the ongoing experience of a character. There's still a Fred Life over here.
Right, and it's just not limited to...
Yeah, that's right.
The Earth suit.
You know? There's the Fred Life that sees that the Fred Life is... That the Fred thing doesn't necessarily, you know, that it's got its preferences, but it's no sweat off my back if they're not met.
Right.
Right?
No, yeah.
Just because most of them are not. Because this unit, there's unlimited wants, you know, unlimited quests, because the whole seeking story is built around what next.
Mm-hmm. And it just wants what everyone else wants, which is more.
Exactly right. It's built around what next and more. That's exactly right. So I got this, but these units are unsatisfiable. You can't, when I say the unit, really what I mean is the character, the one mm-hmm. we think we are, which is connect, which we also believe is connected to this or contained by this or is this or whatever. Mm-hmm. None of that's true. But that idea that we're,
well, I was gonna joke that, you know, we don't, the human units, you know, they don't go from living in caves to landing on the moon by being satisfied.
Well, there we go. I was gonna say they're just that's it. That's exactly right.
Yeah. You know,
they are unsatisfiable units, and now, you know, and now we're looking at Mars and
right
and
well, exactly.
there and exactly. you know, it never stops. So mm-hmm. that's the thing, is that once you can recognize that it's an unsatisfiable unit, mm-hmm. then you begin to see, well, there's no real point in even trying to satisfy it.
Yeah, or to the extent that oneness, you know, sets it up to go get your favorite whatever food for dinner, great. And if it's not met, great too, but...
I have a wealthy client in Los Angeles, and I have told him that, you know, we had a session about the unsatisfiable unit, and the conclusion of the unsatisfiable unit was, because he works all the time, and I said, well, you know, you're never going to satisfy the unit anyway, so the character anyway, so why don't you work less and be dissatisfied with that? Right? And there's a twisted logic in that.
But there's, yeah.
Because there's other things that human being needs to be doing other than earning money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Money is fun, but it's very, very limited. And honest to God, we don't get to take it with us.
Oh, yeah. No, and I have a lot of clients like that as well. It's like, so what if you've amassed more money than you can ever spend in your entire life.
Right.
And I understand you're good at amassing yeah. money, which is that unit is.
Right.
But yeah. What if,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what if you were dissatisfied with not working enough and then enjoyed other parts of it?
That's right. That's right. I mean, and then you can pay attention to your wife and your kids and your lawn and right and your friends and all of that. So the living method is about seeing clearly right now.
Yes.
You know, people just think, I don't know. I don't believe he can wake up somebody in 90 minutes or whatever. That's how long a waking session, 90 minutes. It doesn't really take that long to wake him up, does it? Generally, once in a while it does, but generally speaking, they'll wake up much in under an hour. And it feels like that's in front because it's backwards. That looks to a unit to be an impossible feat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're for an awake unit, it's still going to look impossible if you're looking at things from a normal point of view. But from my position, let's just do that. From my position, it's not crazy. The idea that you could wake somebody up over 30 years is crazy.
Well, and in my brief, compared to your time, I mean, I'm kind of the test case for teaching this, and it is shockingly effective.
Yeah.
In a way that I would have deemed impossible.
But it can only happen in less than in the sense that one of the things that awakening sessions does is take away your story of future awakening, which, just to plug myself, I did a video and to help others out there, I did a video yesterday called
Something Future Awakening, yeah.
Your Story of Future Awakening. Mm-hmm. And I would advise everybody to read that. That's not awake to their true nature right this minute.
But it's an interesting...
Wake up soon.
Yeah, and From Here to Here, I talk about being forever almost there.
That's it. That's right. You're almost
there. And at some level, like, look, I have nothing against meditating. It does all sorts of wonderful. But if that is your tool and you've been doing it for 30 years, and you
maybe
think,
maybe that's not actually your tool. Maybe that's just your tool for staying on the path. And most people on the path will settle.
And if they haven't been exposed to, you know, if oneness hasn't exposed itself to something that, quote, for lack of a better word, works, then what else are you to do? I mean, I gave up. I just stopped.
Yeah. Actually, it just...
Or oneness stopped.
I was going to say, meditation ceased through that unit.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm not even talking about meditation. I'm talking when I just let the teaching, I stopped teaching.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And I was like, I don't know, if something comes along, I guess I'll.
And that's, and it's sort of a perfect attitude. Because, you know, this reaching the goal by letting go of it is, that's backwards.
Yep.
It's the backward stuff that works. And the other thing, folks, is it's the baby talk that works. What I tell folks is that it is my job to help brilliant people get a little bit stupid.
Right. And I say in my sessions, because I've stole the big brain line from you, but it's like, look, I know to that big brain of yours, some of this stuff we're going to do is going to seem so simple.
Yes.
It's just, right. But just, you know, your intellect probably outweighs mine by, you know, three times.
Kowtow to the ego and it will follow you anywhere.
But it's shockingly, it's shockingly, you know, simple in a very rare way.
Yeah. So let's call this over. We've done a lot. I don't know how long we've been here, but I have an appointment in a few minutes, and I'd like to wrap up. And we've covered the territory we wanted to cover, I guess, because that's what happened. So it's wonderful, and we invite everybody to come to Awakening Clarity now. We invite you to go to, and if you would like to find out, if you've got some physical pain, go check out Gary. If you've got some mental anguish, you might want to, not in terms of life anguish, in terms of, like, we're not psychologists or psychiatrists or anything like that. We are spiritual unteachers, and we invite you to join us in becoming no smarter than Socrates. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Fred. That was great.
It was great.